Today on the Scott Radley Show on 900 CHML.
The Hamilton Airport, John C. Monroe Airport, was, not the airport itself, but its representative, who we're going to meet in a second, was talking to City Council today, giving its an update on last year and on how the airport did. And there were a few things in there that, as I was watching, really interesting, especially because we understand, I think most people in this city understand how important this airport is to us and some of the things that it does. It is, I said beforehand, the number one cargo airport in Canada. I believe I checked this during the break. I believe we're number three. Still, enormous amounts of cargo coming through here, enormous amount of economic impact. I want to bring in Cole Horncastle. He is the executive managing director of the John C. Monroe Hamilton Airport. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Scott. How are you?
I am fantastic. I appreciate you doing this. And as I say, I'm always surprised in a pleasant way. I'm always surprised when you go to council or you come on here or whatever, and we get these numbers that say that Hamilton is among the best. I think number three is the correct number, but number three among the best in Canada as far as being a cargo airport. Why do we do so well? Is it just because of our proximity to Toronto, or is there something else?
Well, there's definitely many reasons why we're ranked where we are. And just to clarify that, we are third in the country in terms of total payload, but first when it comes to dedicated overnight express cargo. So we're such an important part in the national supply chain, which is why we've actually received some great funding announcements in the past couple of years to continue expanding. But, you know, with that, we've got so many competitive advantages. And, you know, one being the region, for sure, where we're located is strategically important. We're in the largest corridor in Canada here. But as well, it's our competitive advantage when it comes to our infrastructure. So our runway, our capacity, our de-icing capacity, all these things ultimately, in an industry where minutes matter, support our cargo operators to get these goods to people, get them to Canadians as soon as possible.
Is the airport, and I missed this part of the talk, so I saw a slide, but I'm not sure I know what it means. Is the airport building a new runway or expanding a new runway to take even larger aircraft?
We're not getting a new runway, but I will say is it was a great 2023 where we invested, Tradeport and Vantage Airport Group invested $30.3 million into the airport, our largest capital program to date. And the main piece of infrastructure there was an apron expansion. So we added 32,000 square meters of new apron to the airport. That's approximately 5767 gates or 4777 gates, all with de-icing capability on it. So in terms of percentages, that's about 125% of common use gates added and about 200% of de-icing capacity added to the airport. And we were really proud to open that up in December. Our first operator on it was a DHL 777 from LAX. It was great to see that plane taxi into that new gate.
How much capacity do we have? I'm assuming there would still be, because I don't see planes constantly coming in, and I live not all that far from the airport, but how much more capacity do we have to continue taking more planes? Or with all the cargo coming in, are we close to fully at capacity? I'll get it out eventually.
We aren't at capacity. And just to give you an idea of how many movements we had last year, we had 27,000 movements. And that is only a small percentage of what the airport itself can handle. And specifically after we keep doing these improvements, capacity just continues to expand. But we have no concerns with meeting demand.
And part of the reason I asked that as well is because clearly for all the amazing stuff that is going on with cargo, and it really is because, again, the numbers are off the charts, one of the things that it seems as though that our airport struggles with often is not getting necessarily passenger airlines to come here, but keeping them here. We've over the years had a number of airlines that have decided they're going to call Hamilton home or fly out of Hamilton, and then they don't stick around. How much capacity do we have or ability do we have at this point to add, even if we could, to add more and more passenger airlines?
Yeah. The passenger industry in Canada right now is extremely volatile amongst all carriers. We've seen that recently with Lynx Air ceasing operations and the windup of Swoop. It's a very competitive marketplace out there right now. What we know is Hamilton is a proven market for passenger traffic. And this is, you know, evident recently by Air Canada starting their new first in Canada service with Landline on May 1st from the airport. So with that, you know, the power of the Vantage network is we're talking to as many carriers as we can to always try try to grow service from the airport.
Do we, if you had a choice, though, with the success we've had in cargo, would you want more to bolster cargo more or to bolster passenger more if we could only do one? Which one is better for this region?
Oh, Scott, that's a trick question because I'll always say we can do both.
Okay.
And you know what? Ultimately, is our airport and through our master plan, which is available online, is we can accommodate both. And ultimately, we can succeed in both. We have proven markets for both our cargo and passenger operations. And I really look forward with the investments that we made last year on top of what will be almost another historic year, looking at about $27 million for this year in investment. So a total of almost $60 million over 2 years into the airport in terms of airport infrastructure, really just bolstering what our customers want. And, you know, even further to that is customers choose Hamilton consistently, and that's whether it's passengers who have an 86% recommendation and satisfaction rate or our cargo stakeholder partners at an 84% recommendation rate. So those who come to Hamilton are very happy with the services that our team provide. And I think once they get in, it is actually hard to not be here because of what we do provide.
You mentioned the volatility, and I think it's a really good word. Is that a concern, though, when you're operating an airport and, you know, as I say, over years, we've had airlines that have suddenly said, yeah, we're out. And that's I got to believe that volatility is tricky when you're trying to run a place and make people believe wholeheartedly that I know that my plane is going to be there when I book that.
Yeah, that's, you know, volatility in the industry, it's hitting regional airports and some larger airports pretty heavily over the past 6 months and is expected to be into the next year and 18 months. You know, ultimately here, this is why in Hamilton, it's great that we have the diversification that we do. No matter what, as we're getting in front of our carriers and really trying to support that business growth, but we're also very skilled at this volatility. You know, the history of Hamilton Airport in terms of passengers, we know it's gone in peaks and valleys at certain points. And what I say is that our experience in managing this and a diversification of our business, it continues to allow us to succeed.
It is, as I say, when I look at some of the numbers, I have no context for this, but 746 million kilograms in total landed cargo. It sounds like a lot. So I will go with that being a lot of cargo. It is a success story for sure. Cole Horncastle, really appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk about it today. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Scott.
You're listening to the Scott Radley Show podcast on 900 CHML.
Let us bring in our good friend Bubba O'Neill from CHCH Sports on a very busy day. Lots going on today. Bubba, how are you?
No, it's just this time of the year, like, it's, there was a time where I thought sports kind of stopped a little bit, but you know, it's insane right now.
Well,
it really is. And I'm not complaining because I have a job, but like, it really is. I, you know, when I have this little 6 minute section on the newscast, and you know, things don't make it because there's so much, and there's so much local stuff going on, which increases the pressure.
Well, we'll start with Sheldon Keefe, just because that I think is probably the busiest, biggest story of the day, and the Leafs getting rid of him. And here's the thing, that when I heard that the Leafs were getting rid of Sheldon Keefe, you can make an argument, and I think that the Leafs are making the argument, that they have not succeeded under him in the playoffs, therefore a new voice is needed, and I am open to that argument, and I get it. Here's the one thing I will say, though. Sheldon Keefe today put out this video. I know you showed it on your sportscast today, and what he says in there, one of the things is, I didn't get the team over the hump in the playoffs. I take responsibility for that. That was my job. Therefore, I get it.
Yeah.
I applaud him wholeheartedly for saying that, for being a man about it, for being a stand-up guy, and for saying, I didn't do what I'm here to do. Where was that comment from any of the main players on the Toronto Maple Leafs when they had their media day earlier this week?
The only person that came even close to saying anything like that, and that's where I gave him a lot of credit, and I gave him probably, I did like a four-player piece of sound from that press conference on Monday from the players' final media availability. And the only person to say anything close to that would be Morgan Riley. But he said, I'm not going to stand here and make it seem like we're close or whatever. And then he went on and, you know, and did a little, continued his talk. So I give him credit for saying something. But you're correct, Scott. No one said anything like that. No one said, this is on me. No one said, I've got to be better. There's such protection of each of themselves. And this goes to a couple of things, too. The unbelievable amount of media training these players have gone under. And two, it could be said that there, you know, these players that where the Maple Leafs have a certain amount of privilege right now that they don't even think to say something like that because it's not my fault. And they probably knew deep within their souls that the only person that was going to pay the price was the head coach.
Well, so far, and you know, the irony of this is that a couple of the guys, Mitch Marner especially, is getting just shredded for what happened in the playoffs. And, you know, I absolutely wholeheartedly believe that he doesn't understand that if he had come out and said, you know what, I had a stinky playoffs, I tried, but it just wasn't going my way, and I had a terrible playoff, and my goodness, I am going to be better next year. I believe wholeheartedly, Bubba, that 75% of Leaf fandom would have said, good on you, Mitch. You show responsibility,
What made you think he was good? What made anyone think, not you, just you personally, I'm not saying you, but what made anyone think after the last 5 years of these media availabilities at the end of the season that we were going to hear any different from number 16?
Oh, no, I didn't think we were going to hear different. There was nothing that made me think.
Right.
What I'm saying is, had he come out and taken the same position that Sheldon Keefe just did, I think people would have been far more forgiving and compassionate and understanding and easier on Mitch Marner than by taking this, it's never my fault kind of thing. It just doesn't play. That's the point. And I think today should be, you talk about media training, Sheldon Keefe's video should be media training for every guy on that team. Here's how you do it. Here's how you do it.
No, I gave Keefe, and it looked like he clearly knew because he looks like he's somewhere where it's nice and warm and cozy. It looked beautiful wherever he was. He clearly was probably told days before that he was not going to return. And you're right. He stood there instead of a phone or whatever and spoke for nearly 2 minutes. And opened his guts, and I give him a tremendous amount of credit because he didn't need to do that, but that was his way of saying bye to the fans, and anyone check it out and you'll know what we're talking about here. But back to Marner here, that the only thing he did, which again ired the community, was him saying that the Maple Leafs are looked upon as gods. Like what a tone deaf thing to say. And you know what? On my podcast this week, I had the likes of Paul Hendrick, just such a respected broadcaster, spent so much time at CHCH and even more at Leafs TV. He sort of said, he didn't really mean to say that. But unfortunately, that's what came out of his mouth.
Yeah. You know what's going to be so difficult now for Marner and the other Leafs? I believe also wholeheartedly that Sheldon Keefe is going to get another NHL job. I 100% he's going to get another NHL job. Those guys on the Leafs better hope that when he goes to that next team, he doesn't have playoff success. Because if he goes to another team and they start winning in the playoffs, it is now abundantly clear that it was not Sheldon Keefe who was holding the team back in the playoffs. It was the players. The only way their reputation doesn't look worse is if he goes to Team X and they struggle in the playoffs again. But if they do well, my goodness, Marner and Matthews and all those guys, it just makes them look worse.
Well, the Leafs kind of got off the hook this season by the fact that Kyle Dubas went to Pittsburgh and the team didn't make the playoffs. So, because you think about it, think how closely that team was being followed this year, because everyone was afraid exactly of what you were going to say that you said there, is that the Penguins were going to have unbelievable success. And there's the Leafs former general manager just going, hee. The interesting thing beyond that, though, you know, furthering this discussion there, Scott, is what are we going... I mean, you can kind of predict what we're going to hear, but will there be at least one surprise tomorrow when Brad Treliving and Shanahan and the new CEO of Keith Pelly take the stand and face the media tomorrow?
See, I think the interesting thing about what Sheldon Keefe did today with this video is that I think he bought himself an awful lot of goodwill. I really do. Mm-hmm. I think that just the way he portrayed himself, I think that a lot of people, maybe even who were saying he deserved to be fired, and even if he deserved to be fired, because that's what happens in the NHL, you don't succeed in the playoffs, you get fired. But I think a lot of people now look and go, yeah, I'm going to soften my position on him a little. I'm not sure it was all him. If that's the lone move that this management team is going to do and say it's just Sheldon Keefe, I think it's going to blow up in their face tomorrow. I think there's going to be a lot of blowback, but I don't know what else to expect.
But wasn't the writing on the wall from Treliving's statement today, the team needs a new voice? Which leads me to believe nothing, that's it. That's the move.
Could be.
We need a new voice. We don't need new players, but we need a new voice.
Yeah, it could be. And you know, when I said maybe Sheldon Keefe goes to another team and has playoff success, maybe he doesn't. And maybe you do bring in someone. Like, for example, the guy that I think the Leafs should be going after, and I don't know if they will, and I don't know if they would be allowed to, is Joel Quenneville. Now, Joel Quenneville has there's some skeletons in the closet, so to speak, with his time in Chicago and the ugly situation there that he was peripherally involved with, but he is not allowed right now to coach in the NHL. But there is no better guy out there. There's nobody who's had more success than him. And you know what? I would be interested if you bring in a guy like Quenneville.
It could be a public relations disaster.
But you know what would
and
make
you're
it
right.
You know what would make He's it not wrong. A disaster? What would make it not a disaster is winning. And I wonder, could he be the guy that would convince those players to play a different playoff style that would put them over the top? And I don't know the answer.
The better solution to me is there are contracts contract discussions that need to go on this year with Rod Brind'Amour in Carolina. And if they get knocked out, if they get swept by the Rangers, I mean, there could be pressure on him to move on. And I'll tell you this right now, based on the fact that a lot of players will remember him, based on the fact that this guy is a hard ass, but knows how to talk to the young kids as well, too, and the fact that he could probably kick the crap out of many of the players that are on his team, Rod Brind'Amour, to me, would be an amazing choice. There would be orders
for sure
restored and a level of accountability and the fact that I'm the coach and you're the player. I think that would be quickly established if he was the new head coach of the Maple Leafs.
Agree 100%. I mean, I was not even considering him right now because he is not available. But yes, if you could get him, he comes without all the Quenneville baggage and is a guy that you would put at the top of the list. So, you know, we will see. All right, let's switch over to, you mentioned also a lot of local stuff going on. Ticats. Rookie camp is on now, but main training camp opens up on Sunday. And yesterday, an awful lot of people's eyebrows sort of cocked up a little bit when Bo Levi Mitchell shows up at camp wearing a walking boot. He's injured, apparently, before the first snap of training camp even starts. Now, the new coach, Scott Milanovic, says he's fine. He'll be back. I expect him on the field on Monday. It's not really all that serious, blah, blah, blah. What do you make of this, though?
Well, I can only go by what the head coach says, because we have not heard from said quarterback that, you know, he's been working his butt off to get ready for training camp. So based on his, you know, his age, his body, obviously the fact that his, you know, that part of his body was, you know, suffered a fracture and he missed 8 games. Maybe there, you know, there's some effects that are still being, you know, healed there. And the fact that he put a heavy load on maybe that part of the body to get ready for camp, and that there was some swelling. I mean, we're not talking about a break or a fracture or anything like that. It's swelling. So, you know, the concern is this. Is this going to be a concern going forward for the next 20 weeks? Right. So,
right.
I'm gonna trust that, you know, everything is going to be A-okay, and that, you know what, he will be. We talk about load management. That load management will become the new buzz phrase here for the Hamilton Tiger Cats in terms of how much work he gets during the, you know, during training camp and even during practice in the regular season.
I would expect, yeah. I mean, you know, load management is one of those words, thanks to Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors for creating this stupid buzzword that now everybody does. But in the NBA, load management means you sit out games. And there's no way that the Ticats can afford, if he's healthy, to have him sit out games. But you're right. I could very easily, even though it flies in the face of everything that football does, I could see the Ticats maybe having him not practice as much, which is, again, which is weird, because every level of football, you don't practice, you don't play. It would be interesting to see if they would change that and say one day a week, one practice a week, he's not going to be on his feet or whatever, just to try and keep him fresh. I don't know if they would, but it would be an interesting try of something new.
There's a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL that go days, you know, that go multiple days without practice. You know, he's a guy 34 years old, multiple MVP. I mean, we know everything he's done. I don't think he needs to practice every day at this point. I really don't.
You know, there is a... there is a quarterback that is out there who is a free agent who is a Canadian who just got released by the Patriots. Now, I think the Giants are giving him a tryout. I'm talking about Nathan Rourke.
If you're the Ticats,
have you already reached out to Nathan Rourke's people to say, if the NFL doesn't work out, we're interested? Or are you saying...
Well, I believe his CFL rights are still owned by...
Are they still owned by the...
Yeah, yeah. I don't see, you know, I think his only option, unless the rights were to be traded, and I under no circumstances would I see DC trading or giving away his rights to anything for anybody.
But see, I thought his contract was up with BC. We'll have to check this one, because I thought that contract was done and he was a free agent now. Because if he's a free agent, there may not be another guy who would draw as much interest around the league.
Would it be that or his negotiation rights? I mean, because I'm sure there would be some negotiation rights. But yeah, I mean, the Ticats would have to pay him $1 million a year. So,
well, what are they paying? So Bo Levi just dropped renegotiated his contract, but wasn't he making $7 million at one point? So yeah, it would be more than that.
Yeah, but it's down to about, I think, $250,000 now, the new renegotiated salary. So I just don't see it happening. I believe in my heart that Nathan Rourke is looking and seeking every NFL opportunity.
Oh yes, sure.
At this point right now, and of course you know the story about, for you know, these players that, you know, 4 years in the league and he's already got one in the books right now, and you get your NFL pension, which is a really attractive kind of thing to have before even going anywhere. But I think any CFL team right now that's kind of wishing and hoping for Nathan Rourke, again, I could be completely wrong. Maybe the kid wants to play. I think it's a pipe dream that he's ever leaving the NFL.
What?
Even if he's going to be holding a clipboard.
Okay, so what is your expectation then of Bo Levi Mitchell this year? Because last year he was injured for a huge chunk of the year with two different injuries, and then he was, you know, when he was on. Now, the part of the reason that he might have been mediocre when he was able to play is because he missed so much time and never could get into a rhythm. But what are you expecting of him this year?
Well, wins. I don't need Bo to throw for 400 yards. I don't need Bo to. I need wins. That's all. Win games. Don't turn the football over. It's that simple. And I'm not saying anything rocket science here, but I think that's what it comes down to. And I believe that's the way he will be evaluated. Remember, this new head coach has no allegiance to him. his allegiance also is to win. And there's a lot of trust out of Scott Milanovich when it comes to Taylor Powell, right, who's, you know, basically had half a season of work last year, basically coming in halfway through training camp. I mean, that guy got the book thrown at him in terms of, like, here, go. And I thought he did fairly well. There's a lot of people that are very high on Taylor Powell. I'm not quite there yet, but I do believe that Bo Levi Mitchell should be the starting quarterback right now. But I think this team right now is in a win now place. I think fans here going into 25 years of not winning a Grey Cup, you know, people want wins. People don't want excuses. And yeah. Anything short of a good Bo Levi Mitchell, I think is, you know, it's gonna have people say, look, let's get to the other kid.
Well, you've also got something. We got to run here, but you've also got something going on in the CFL East right now, where Toronto's quarterback is suspended half
a
year.
Oh my goodness!
Ottawa. You know, who knows if Ottawa is going to be any good, but they won four games last year. I don't think people are expecting too much out of them. And Montreal, yeah, Montreal got red hot in the playoffs and won the Grey Cup, and good for them. But they were not a great team last year. They just got red hot at the exact right moment. But the East is, like, sitting there wide open for the Ticats if they want to take it.
Well, let's you know, not forget here the Argos. You know, I mean, I know we're talking. You know, a lot of us spent a lot of the spring and winter talking about player losses.
Yes.
Now their quarterback is, you know, in 9 games minimum, you know, for his issues, and you know, and there's a whole new, you know, set of question marks going on right now as he appeared in Guelph University today at rookie and QB camp, and you know, now he wasn't throwing, but he was there, and there's a lot of people who think that's a bad look. I don't know what you think, but I was surprised that, you know, based on what happened to him and what, you know, he's been accused of doing and what he's been punished for, I was surprised that he was there. Now legally, he's yet to appeal. He hasn't been charged of anything, so I guess he can be there, but I don't know, kind of a bad look in my opinion.
It's not a great look for the Argos and for pinball, quite frankly, Pinball Clemens. And yeah, he can appeal, and I almost expect that he will appeal, because, I mean, at this point, why wouldn't you? You know, the league, to my understanding, doesn't have a procedure where if you appeal and lose your appeal, there's any extra penalty attached to it. Like, it's not like you are risking anything by appealing. So, you know, I mean, why wouldn't you appeal and take a chance? And maybe they knock it down to 8. Maybe they knock it down to 7. Maybe it's 6. I don't know. Or worst case scenario, it's still 9. And well, it didn't cost me anything. So
horrible look. This wasn't like, you know, like he took someone's knee out or like he started a fight with someone. You know what he's been accused of, and what the league, after basically almost a 3 months in investigation, what he's been accused of, and in the view of the Canadian Football League, that they are saying he's guilty of, you know, of the things what he did there in terms of harassment. Having him back, anything short of this 9 games, and of course there's a stipulation there where he has to take some. Yeah, some training, having him on the field, or at least having him play, anything short of this punishment, to me, will make the CFL look like a joke.
That is Bubba O'Neill. You can catch him on CHCH. You can also listen to his Sportsline podcast. It's a good thing. Bubba, thanks for doing this.
Hey, always a pleasure.
The Scott Radley Show. Weekday evenings from 6 to 8 on 900 CHML.
The Scott Radley Show podcast is available on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Scott Radley. Thanks again for listening, and do not forget to subscribe to this podcast. It is free. You will never miss an episode. And also, be sure you rate us and review us. Whatever you think of us, we'll take it. Thanks for listening.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.